Mic check. 1, 2. 1, 2. Hello, everyone. We are at episode number 9. I can't believe that the next episode will be the 10th episode already. Time has flown. The episodes are just coming out. Left and right. It's been a very interesting journey, a very challenging journey for me, and not challenging in a bad way, because a lot of times people equate challenging to be something that's negative or that has a negative connotation. But I like a good challenge. I like things that steer me in the direction of growth and progression. And so this podcast has helped me to be able to be consistent, stick to what I said I was going to do, and stay on my toes as far as topics and conversations and discussions. So last week, I always give a listener shout out. Atlanta, since day one, has not moved from being number one. So shout out to Atlanta. This week at number two, we had Houston. Shout out to Houston. And at number three was Orlando. So shout out to Atlanta, Houston, and Orlando. Y'all did y'all big one. Y'all continue to do your big one. I appreciate it. I respect it. I'm humbled. And I am definitely appreciative. This week's episode is a bit different, more so because it's tied to something that's very specific that everybody probably cannot relate to, but I think the majority of us can. It has to do with being support for people in your community that may be grieving or may be mourning. And it could be specific to losing a loved one by way of death, but it could also be just by way of being supportive to someone who is now grieving a process of like detachment from someone, even if it's a heartbreak or what have you. So tomorrow is April 22nd. It would have been my mother. Well, it is my mother's birthday. So it's just very interesting. This will be my 10th year not having my mom, and not experiencing her for her birthday. My mom was a very celebratory person with anything like birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, New Year. She was just a person that loved to celebrate life. And I've spoken on it a bit in previous episodes, probably majority of my episodes. The reality of experiencing the loss of my mom, the reality of experiencing the loss of my best friend, one of my dear friends, Tierney. She passed away a few months ago at the end of the year last year. Just a lot of loss. And one thing that I've noticed to ring true with losing someone that I love or that I care about is that whether you're consciously aware, and with time it's gotten better, but whether you're consciously aware or unconsciously aware, we put expectations on the people that we deem as our family or as our community. And I know that for me, before my mother passed, my grandmother passed 3 years before. And at that point, that was my closest, most intimate experience with loss. And I was just like, oh my God, like it was hard. But when my mom passed, it was just like, It didn't just hit close, it was in my house, in my home. And I was 21 years old at the time. And I remember having this realization after the fact that she passed, that I had expectations of people unknowingly in my life to step up. I had expectations of aunts, of friends, of cousins, of other family members. I just thought, because you witnessed how close I was to this person, you would step up, you would be there, you would support. Because also it was like, you experienced her. You experienced the beauty of who she was and her impact to the world around her. And so you know how extreme this loss is. So you should understand the depth of my loss. And of course, it was me processing from a place of, being young, but also grasping for straws as far as trying to figure out what I needed at the time. A lot of times when people experience grief and they experience loss and something so extreme, especially with death, is that they don't know what they need. A lot of times the first thing that someone will say, trying to be supportive, is, "Let me know if you need anything." Chances are, if you're in a position where you lost someone, you don't know what you need. Right now, your life is in a whirlwind. Nothing is certain. All you have is questions, confusion, doubt, frustration, sadness, disappointment, anger. You have all of these feelings. And so when someone comes to you with a question, when you are already wrestling with questions in your mind, it can feel overwhelming. Not only that, it can feel like, I actually don't have the capacity to offer you an answer or to extend what it is that you're asking for me in this moment, so I won't say anything. And so what happens is there's distance that's created, because sometimes people are like, "I don't know what to say. I don't know what you need. I don't know what would be the quote unquote right thing to say in this moment." And the beauty of that process and of being support and of being community is that the reality is there is no right thing to say, but there are wrong things to say. And so I want to offer you a bit of perspective. If you're in a position where you are offered the opportunity to be support to someone, do your best to observe this person, who they are, how they are, what they like, what they're into, and pose more questions that are sculpted around the individual, right? Not just a generic question. For example, I'm the type of person that likes being by the water. I like sitting by the ocean. It helps me to recenter. Most of the people that are in my community, they know that. When they pose questions to me, they say, "Have you been by the water lately?" They don't just say, "What you been up to?" or "What do you plan on doing?" It's more intentional, it's more thoughtful. So in your process of posing questions, make sure that the questions that you pose are intentional for the individual. Don't just ask how you feeling. If you know that someone just lost someone, and like I said, whether it's death, whether it's a breakup, how are you feeling is not going to be an answer that is progressive, if you understand what I'm saying. A better way to pose a question instead of "how are you feeling" is, "What have you been doing to externalize the things that you're feeling. Are you going to therapy? Are you going to any fitness classes? Do you journal? Do you read? Listen to the answer. It's also important to consider that sometimes individuals may need a breath of fresh air. Instead of asking them, "Did you eat?" send them food. Instead of asking them, "Have you gotten out of the bed?" say, "I'm going to come to pick you up." And if it's a situation where there's distance involved, hey, let's have a FaceTime date. I'm going to pay for your meal. Let's do a FaceTime call. You go to a restaurant of your choice. I'm going to go to a restaurant. Let's have a FaceTime date. If you know that this person is in a predicament where they have a tendency to fall into emotions like depression or in a depressed state, or they tend to isolate, do things that are proactive. The most important thing is about knowing the individual, being aware of the individual in a way that you can be support to the best of your ability. Because it's not good enough to simply separate yourself and remove yourself because you quote unquote don't know what to say. That's not good enough. That's not fair to them. And it also takes the power away from yourself. And it gives you permission or freedom to be a weak person when you don't have to be. So to take your power back in a scenario where you feel like, I don't know, my back is against the wall. I don't know how to be a supportive person or a supportive partner or a supportive family member or whatever the case may be. Consider the individual. Do you want them to eat? Send them money for food. Do you want them to get out of the house? Schedule a date. Take them out on a date. And I mean that in a platonic, romantic, whatever sense it may be. And then sometimes don't feel like if you're in the person's presence, you have to fill the space with noise. Sometimes just being in someone's space can be enough to feel supported. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You could just be. And I say that from a person where, if you know anything about attachment styles, in my experience and my life experiences, my attachment style has changed in different seasons. When my mother passed away, my attachment style was more on the secure, avoidant, side. I refused to get any romantic attachments because I knew that I was in a vulnerable state. So for years, I didn't entertain anybody. I didn't go on a date. I didn't have crushes. I didn't have conversations. I simply was like, I refuse to get myself emotionally involved with anybody because I know that I'm in a vulnerable position. And so, although I was content with myself, I had a wall up because I knew where I was at in my heart and in my mind. But what I desired more than anything, especially romantic, was for my community to step up. And when I say community, at that time, I really mean my family. I have family members that in my mind, I was like, you'll be there. They'll be here for me. They'll come see me. They'll call me. They'll shoot me a text. And I felt failed. And not because they attempted and I was mad at what they attempted. It was because there was no attempt. And it took me years to be able to confront them and let them know how I felt. Like, I feel like you failed me. I was hurt and I was upset and I was sad that you didn't take initiative to try and be there. I was in a why, and then a lot of people's response to me was, why didn't you reach out? Why didn't you tell me? When you're in a predicament or you're in a position where you genuinely feel like your world is over and your world is crashing down, you don't know how to initiate anything. You don't know how to reach out and ask for help. You don't know how to communicate certain things because your mind has switched to survival mode. And now you're just here trying to wrap your mind around time is still gonna go. I still have to go to work. I still have responsibilities. If your mom passes on the 25th, you still got bills to pay on first of the month. It doesn't stop. And so when you have all of these stresses that you're internalizing and you're experiencing and you're processing, the last thing that you're thinking about is, oh, one of my cousins said to text them if I need something, or one of my homegirls said, let them know if I need something or what. It's hard to reach out and be the initiator. So I would say that if you're in a position with somebody in your life and you're in a predicament where you know that someone near you or around you has lost someone or experienced loss or they're in the midst of grief and mourning, volunteer yourself. Even if you have to put reminders in your phone, check in on them, send them a text, send them a voice note, call them, FaceTime them. And don't be offended if they don't respond immediately. Have grace. Don't fear rejection. Have grace. Understand that sometimes it takes people a minute, but you'd rather be the person in somebody's story and in somebody's memories that was there regardless, that tried regardless, that stepped up regardless. So, like I said, this is just to encourage people that have experienced being in relationship, community, in the same circle as individuals that are going through grief, that are going through mourning. This is an opportunity and an invitation into intimacy with these relationships. This is an opportunity to love well and love intentionally, and to step up in a way that communicates, I love you, even if your words don't say it. That communicates, I care about you, even if your words don't say it. That communicate, I'm here for you, even if your words don't say it. But when all else fails, let your words follow your actions. Don't just tell somebody, I'm here for you if you need anything. Do it. Do it. Don't just say, I care about you. Show it. It's so easy to just say stuff and just throw things out there because it sounds good and because, well, at least I did it. At least I said something. Giving yourself brownie points, but actually show up for people, especially considering the fact that we all at some point will be in a position where we experience being on the receiving end of a loss. Show up in a way that you would want somebody to show up for you and some because you're capable. So that's really it. I just wanted to talk about that briefly because and it's not to say, hey, everybody reach out to me tomorrow. It's not giving that. I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. It's not about me. I just use my experiences and my perspective from years of experiencing loss and going through depression and anxiety and grief and mourning. Going through those things and wishing that I had someone that could advocate for me when I couldn't advocate for myself. Because I'm at a point now where I do have support and people that make me feel supported and validated and seen and heard and that consider me as a human and don't abandon ship while I'm going through what I'm going through. But make sure that you are in a position with the people in your life and the people in your world where you are equipped no matter what the situation is, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's indifferent. Make sure that you are a friend or a family member or someone that is taking up space in somebody's life that is worthwhile, that shows value, that shows intentionality. And not because you have to, it's because you get to. And because it's something that is a beautiful thing that we get to offer the people in our lives to show I care about you and you're valued and you're respected and you're appreciated and I'm considering you. So I hope this resonates with somebody. And I hope that this will help you to be able to show up as your best self in the relationships that you have in your life. Be well.